is everybody doing today? It is, once again, Fantasy Unscripted. As always, it's your boy Jake the Snake with my two buddies, Z-Dub and Barnacle. Z-Dub, how you doing this evening, brother man?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine and dandy. Barnacle, what's up, my man?
I'm doing good. 30 seconds, still the same.
Still doing good, right, from 30 seconds ago.
Yep.
Yeah, my wife, for those of you who are listening, my wife made a joke, and she's probably listening in right now, actually, that every time we start this podcast, I always ask how you guys are doing, just so that everybody else knows how you're doing. I know that you guys are doing great, because I've been talking to you for the past couple hours anyway, but nobody else does, so I gotta let them all know. So we just thought that was kind of funny. In the past 30 seconds, you're doing just as well as you were before we started recording. Good news. And we want to welcome you guys into the second episode of the second season of our podcast. And this is also part two of our covering the NFL, all eight divisions, going in-depth, looking at fantasy-relevant players from each of the 32 NFL teams broken down by division in reverse order that they finished for the 2017 season. So last week, we started with the AFC West, talked a little bit of Broncos, talked a little bit of Raiders, talked a little bit of Chargers, and argued a lot of Chiefs. And hopefully we get more of that, because that's more fun when we disagree on stuff. And so today, we are going to tackle our next division, because one of the other teams that was eliminated in the first round, the Los Angeles Rams. So we're going with the NFC West, and I think we start right there with the Los Angeles Rams. How about them Rams, boys?
The biggest surprise of the year, for sure.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised about their defense, but their offensive production they had all season with Gurley and Goff coming into form, I just think their offense is going to continue to get better going into next season as well. And their defense got better by getting Marcus Peters. And if they could keep Tremaine Johnson, we're looking at a scary secondary in L.A.
And you know who their defensive coordinator is, right?
Old Wade Phillips, man. That guy can plug in anybody and turn them to elite defenders.
Think about the last three teams. Okay, we could think about all the teams he's been with, but just think about the last three that he's been with, okay? Houston Texans, when he was here, Texans were top five defense. Denver Broncos, when he was there, the Broncos were top five defense. Probably number one.
They were.
Rams, they were definitely number one.
What were the Rams of defense last year in fantasy terms? Number three. They were number three. Okay, so they are going to continue to benefit from having him. They got a great defense. I agree with you there. And with their offense playing well, defense playing well, I don't see any reason they can't repeat as the NFC West champs. Hopefully they get out of the first round this year, though.
I think Seahawks will have something to say about that, but that's the only really competition they have in that division.
Because everybody else just folded last year.
Jimmy G there in San Francisco for a 4 year, so who knows what happened with that.
I think, let's do one team at a time, but I think that they are going to be about what they were last year. 6 or 7 wins. Not a great season. Jimmy G, let's just say quarterbacks do not make a team. So quarterbacks themselves, as we saw in the Super Bowl with Tom Brady, can do everything, all right, and still not win. That's just the name of the game in the NFL. You have to have players around you. You have to have a decent defense. They don't have really either one of those two. They're working on it. They're trying to get better.
I think
they've got one piece figured out. They got many more pieces that got to fall in place.
Yeah, I think they have they're getting the offensive pieces slowly together, but I think that once they have building pieces on both sides of the ball, in my opinion. But Jimmy G and that defense, they drafted early drafts, like first or second round players on that defense already.
Well, let's just say that they are in a better shape than the Arizona Cardinals. That's for sure. So that helps.
Yeah.
But as far as the Rams go, okay, let's hop in right here with some of the highly contested debates So we know Todd Gurley, obviously. We know Jared Goff, obviously. The question marks lie at the wide receiver position. And what do you guys think happens with this? Do you think it continues to be the Robert Woods show? Do you think Sammy Watkins comes out of the woodworks and finally figures out how to play football again, like he did when he was at Clemson? Or does the white boy take over and Cooper Kupp becomes like a Wes Welker and leads his team in receiving? What happens? Or is there somebody who's totally unthought of that we're not even talking about right now that's going to come up and be the next guy?
I think it'll be pretty similar to last year.
Tavon Austin,
It'd be Tavon Austin. But honestly, I think if they keep that core together, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think they need to add a tight end to their offense. That'll just put them over. I make it a top five offense. Like, yes, they were this year, but I think that'll elevate their offense better with the receiving tight end, like a Jimmy Graham or somebody that they know they can catch the ball in the middle of the field and not rely on Woods and Kupp and Watkins all the time. But if they do get a tight end, it'll help those receivers open up the field more and those deep ball pads that Sean McVay likes to throw the golf.
Yeah,
they kind of suffer from not having a decent tight end.
I mean, they have Higby and Everett, right? Those are the tight ends, right? For LA?
Yeah, I know they have Tyler Higby. He's the only one that I really know about. But, yeah, they definitely need somebody better. Z-Dub, I interrupted you. What were you saying, bud?
I was going to say, I think it's going to be pretty similar to last year. If they don't get another tight end, I think it'll be pretty similar. I think it'll be Robert Woods leading the way. Although I do think Cooper Kupp will progress even more. I mean, he was just a rookie last year, and he got better and better as the season went on, I think. And I think he's going to emerge a little bit more next year. But I still think Robert Woods will probably lead the team in receiving if he stays healthy. But I can really see Cooper Kupp becoming a big playmaker.
Call me crazy, but
I think it's time for the Watkins show.
I wish I could agree. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with him.
I feel like it's not like they're not trying to get him the ball. They're not trying to throw him the ball. It's just he's a one-dimensional receiver. He's a guy that runs the deep route and uses his speed. That doesn't work all the time. He's not like the top five receiver we see who doesn't need the deep ball threat to be successful. And that's what he needs.
My thinking on why Sammy Watkins is going to be the man this year is a couple reasons. One, he spent, his first couple of years in Buffalo without a real quarterback. So that hurts a little bit. And after playing without somebody for a little while, you kind of get used to kind of lackadaisical play. You know you're not really going to get targeted a whole lot because you got a guy who can't throw. So he comes to L.A., and he has probably one of the – actually, if you're, speaking historically about his career, probably one of his better years of his career just because he got some production, right? Usually he gets no production. I think it only goes up. I think he's the guy – we were talking a couple months ago about how the Chiefs needed a big physical receiver that can go over the middle. Sammy Watkins is a big dude. He's a big dude. Okay? And he may be a speed guy, but he's one of those guys that he needs to play in the slot and like kind of how Larry Fitzgerald transitioned to the slot, and that's going to get him so many more looks and opportunities. Then he'll either have a nickel corner on him, or if there's a mismatch, he has a safety on him. That's total mismatch.
If he's going to get better, he needs to work on his route running.
You just said Larry Fitzgerald. He doesn't play for the Rams.
No, I said like Larry Fitzgerald. They need to move to the slot like Larry Fitzgerald was moved to the slot, and it helped out his career.
It did. That's the thing. But you got to think about who Larry had as QBs. He had a piece at Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Sammy had nobody. Sammy has had a history of nobodies at quarterback. And now, finally, Jared Goff looked competent last year, and he I think is going to look competent again this year. Therefore, I can see this trajectory of Sammy Watkins giving you performance of like a solid flex play all year long. So he would qualify as like a wide receiver 3. So he'd be somewhere in the 20s at the end of the year, somewhere in the 20s rank.
Yeah. To me, I think the Rams offense can be great, but I don't expect the year that Gurley had to repeat.
No, I don't either. I think it's really hard for a running back who gets so much work, and you see how many touches he had this year, to continue to do that year in and year out, and even staying healthy. You know, assuming, because you always have to take into account injuries, but assuming that he stays healthy, it just does not seem feasible that he could have the same production 2 years in a row. And if he does have it this year, then by gosh, I'm putting all my money down that he's not going to do it 3 times in a row. You just never see it in the NFL. You never, ever see guys that can do the amount of work that he did for 16 games year in, year out, and be healthy and not slow down, not wear down, you know. And then you get those little nagging injuries. You get, like a sprained ankle, or you get like a pulled hamstring where you're not actually hurt. Mm-hmm. You don't actually go on the injured reserve, but you are out a week, out 2 weeks. You're dealing with some kind of soreness, some kind of lingering injury you develop from just being worn out all the time. And it's good that he's young. That helps his career. That he's playing on a brand new knee, pretty much.
I just hope I think the Rams are the next big thing in the NFL. And I think LA is going to enjoy great football from both their LA teams, and all the complaining about them moving there will be all for naught.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you there. I think LA is blessed to have two teams. I know football demand in LA is not great, but I think it will grow with two good teams. Real quick, I want to touch on Greg the Leg. Is he going to be the real deal again next year?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, if the offense produces the way it did this year, then yes, hands down, number one kicker.
There you have it. Barnacle, number one kicker, Greg Zuerlein, Greg the Leg, the man, the legend, the myth, Greg the Leg. All right, let's move on to another team that nobody really cares about, the Arizona Cardinals. After looking like they might be poised to make a serious run for the NFC West title last year, they lost their starting running back on week one. They lost their starting quarterback on week three. And their defense played just as bad as the Texans' defense did all year. What do we make of the Arizona Cardinals in 2018 season?
I think
rebuilding season.
I think rebuilding around the offense. Their defense is built right now, but they have no offense, and that's what's going to be their problem. They don't have a QB.
They need to get a QB.
To me, it all depends on what they do at the QB spot to determine how their season will go.
Lots of our analysis and breakdowns that we're doing right now is very draft dependent. A lot of these teams that we're talking about being kind of weak, if they come out and have a solid draft, and of course we won't know even after the draft if it's solid until people start playing games, you know. It's always said, so-and-so got this guy in the first round, or they stole this guy in the second round and he slipped down. It never really know until the guys get out on the field and perform. So we'll see that coming up. But this, you know, a lot of these teams that we're talking about are very draft dependent. So how they do really dictates whether or not they repeat as a 5-11 team, or whether they turn it into an 11-5 team. Who knows?
Yeah, I think they're going to – I mean, I think the biggest thing, obviously, they're going to make a push for is quarterback. And if they don't go after one – I think they'll go after Kirk Cousins. They'll go after maybe one of the Vikings QBs or someone. If they don't go after one of those guys, they'll probably go after a quarterback in the first round of the draft this year. A lot of people are saying Baker Mayfield.
Who did they get as a coach?
I don't know. I don't think they have a coach yet. Do they?
I thought they do. I don't think it was a big one, the big hires.
They hired some random guy.
Wasn't he like an OC somewhere?
Well, let's just say this. I've never heard of him. So I literally have no idea who it is. Even if you told me his name, I'd say I have no clue who he is.
If they hired someone, I missed it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all the head coaching vacancies have been filled in the NFL, except for the Colts, right?
Oh, it was the Colts Steve got their coach. Yeah, their head coach is Steve Wilkes. He was the DC for the Panthers.
Okay, there you have it. Steve Wilkes. Never heard of him before. The Panthers had a decent defense a couple years ago. I mean, they were okay.
Yeah, I think Arizona's defense, if it's healthy all year, I think Buda Baker is going to be the next big thing for that Arizona defense.
We still got Peterson, too.
I agree with you. Well, they have Peterson. They have Tyrann Mathieu as well still. And Calais Campbell. No, not Calais Campbell. What's the other guy's name?
Chandler Jones.
Chandler Jones. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, Chandler Jones. I see, that's the thing, though.
He was the most underrated player in the league.
Yeah, Barnes, you mentioned that they have those pieces in place that they need to build around their offense. But, you know, I know they had a hard time this year, but their defense played very poorly this year. You know, they, like the Texans, is what I'm saying, they did not play up to their potential at all. At all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's potentially a top five caliber defense. And they played like a bottom five defense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. I think
so.
Yeah, they have the pieces to be great.
They do. They have the pieces to be a top 10 defense in the NFL.
They're missing a good linebacker.
But that could only win you maybe 6 or 7 games, like how they did last year. Matter of fact, they went
by itself.
They went 8-8 with Drew Stanton as their QB. 8-8 with Drew Stanton. I mean, they just needed a quarterback. And David Johnson. That's it.
So that's my next thing I want to go to. Okay, so we know that DJ's coming back, and we know that he was held out last year as kind of a precaution because they were so far out of it, there's no reason to rush him back. And, again, it's a wrist injury, so it has no impact on his running. It probably has minimal impact on his carrying. The only thing it would impact would probably be his pass catching. Or stiff arms or stuff like that, but his running has no impact. So his injury is not to his lower body at all. It's not to his head. It's a wrist injury. He had a dislocated wrist. He had surgery. I think he tore a couple tendons in his wrist as well. If he comes back as David Johnson, as the DJ that we know, then I think that automatically gives them at least 2 more wins on top of that 8-8. I think that puts them at 10-6 with just having DJ back. And you could have Drew Stanton still as your quarterback.
And that makes
that's how potent of a runner he is that he can give you 2 extra wins on a season.
That makes this the most intriguing division, I think, in the NFL this coming year.
I think all 4 of these teams can win it, the division being the division.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you saw how the 49ers closed. At the end of last year, they closed on, like, what, a five straight wins. I mean,
yep, they were 1-10. Let me do my math. 1-10.
1-10.
Yep, and they finished 6-10 because they won their last 5 games. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So wow. Okay, yeah. So, DJ quarterback talked about, defense talked about. Let's have another question. Okay, the last couple years, all right, the Cardinals have guessed right. In my opinion. They have guessed right a lot on their wide receiver core, okay? And by saying that, I mean John Brown, Jerron Brown, J.J. Nelson, et cetera, et cetera. I think these guys are all capable. When do we see them take that next step? Because it seems like all 3 of these guys haven't really got it yet. That's where I disagree. Let's be a little bit optimistic here, even if you don't agree with me.
I think J.J. Nelson has a higher ceiling.
When do you guys think they take this next step?
Depends on if they can stay healthy.
They stay healthy. They get a quarterback that can get them the ball. I know it probably won't be this coming year. I'll say either in 2 or 3 years. That's what I'm getting. If it doesn't happen then you just got to move on. Because you're going to need somebody to catch the ball. Besides, Larry ain't going to be there the whole rest of his life. you're going to need somebody that can catch. I think this their needs are QB and a replacement receiver for Larry.
Yeah, if you think about, assuming this is really Larry's last year, which he has said multiple times that it will be, so we can probably understand that this will be his last season. Going into 2019, if they don't make any changes, they've got no receiving core. They look like the Jaguars receiving core. They've got nobody. I mean, because you see their top two guys were down most of the season, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson. And then you got a bunch of nobodies that showed up and played kind of well. But that's what I'm saying is they had, you know, for the most part of last season, they had nobody. So the Cardinals can look like that team in the receiving core. And then it doesn't matter who you have as your quarterback. It's going to be hard to win games without wide receivers.
Yeah.
And so they don't have Ricky Seals-Jones.
I was about to say that. They don't have a tight end, but
yeah, I haven't seen enough yet. I'll need to see more.
He needs to play a whole season and be productive, not just three games.
And he had one stellar game, one average game, and then poop the bed.
Yeah.
But that one stellar game was against the worst defense in the NFL. So, I mean,
the Houston Texans. In NRG Stadium, nonetheless, we got our butts handed to us that game.
Yeah. And it's from Sealy.
No, they beat the Cardinals, right? A&M.
We've won that game. We lost to the 49ers.
Yeah, thanks to what I'm
thinking about. We lost
Deontay Foreman.
Hey.
He'll be back.
He'll be back from his injury, too.
The AFC South will be a fun division to cover this year, too.
Yeah, so that's like Z-Dub mentioned there a second ago. The NFC West, I think, has probably the odds-on favorite of being the most competitive division in the NFL. I think only slightly ahead of the AFC South. Assuming that General Andrew Luck magically figured out his shoulder problem and is able to play this year, because he literally is the difference between them being 4-12 and 12-4. I mean, that literally is one guy that can flip the table on you like that.
I mean,
and with how good the Jaguars are, with how good the Titans are, I know we're not talking about them yet, but with how good those two teams are, Texans are getting Deshaun back. They still have DeAndre. Their running back core could use help, but they're in a good place. I've seen way too many people say we need to get some running backs. I think if the worst that you can be is Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman, you're in pretty good shape. You need to worry about other things.
Offensive line, secondary.
So as far as that goes, I'm okay with that. And then the Colts, Andrew Luck comes back. I think that also is another very competitive division.
Let's worry about the NFC West right now, though.
Yeah, dude. Let's talk about them 49ers.
Huh. Where do you want to start?
Let's have the ball. What are the odds that Jimmy G wins the MVP this year?
It's not happening. I already have my preseason MVP in the background.
Let's hear it.
I'm not sharing it yet. No,
why?
What are we waiting for? I'm still debating, but
is it going to be Carson Wentz? Because that's not very creative.
I'm actually going to go with Derek Carr.
You y'all ready?
Yeah.
That's what we're waiting for.
DW4.
I think.
I'm very hopeful, but I doubt it.
Hey, I'm shooting my shot.
That's fine. Yeah, shoot your shot all over the place, dude. Just not in my eyes. Please. Gross.
But
anyways,
I think
Barnacle
people are
being in the NFC West.
I think people are hyping up Jimmy G a little too much this year. I think they're setting his bar a little too high for him to be MVP. To where, like, if he loses one game even this year, it's like, oh, he's not winning MVP anymore, you know? I mean, just because he hasn't lost a game at all in his career as a pro, I think people are hyping him up a little too much.
Well, let's just look at who won the MVP this year. Okay? I know you want to talk about him. But what I'm saying is, if you take him off of that team is worthless dog poop. All right? the 49ers are the same. If they end up making some kind of run, maybe even a top four, if they win the division and they become like even the four seed, right? If he does enough where he can prove that if he was not on that team, they would be dog poop, then he has a serious chance of being in MVP contention, because that's all it is. It's the most valuable player, really, to your team. It's not even of the league. They say it's the MVP of the league, but it's the most valuable to your team.
But look at what you just said. Look what they have to do. They have to win the division. They probably have to maybe win more than 10 games, and he has to lead, like, be responsible for winning those games, probably having a couple of those games where he wins on a late drive. Yeah, those are, that's a lot of things for a guy who hasn't played 16 games.
I think he can do it, though.
In a full season, I have to see more to say I can call him MVP contender.
I mean, I wouldn't put him in like top five contenders for MVP next year, but you know, it's definitely possible.
If anything, he's a dark horse to win it, yes.
If I had some money to put down on some quarterbacks for MVP this year, and I wanted to see, you know, because right now the odds would be totally against their favor. I agree with Z-Dub on Derek Carr. I'd put money down on him. I'd put money down on Jimmy Garoppolo, because his odds probably aren't that great, even though he's getting talked about a lot. And the third and final person, believe it or not, that I would put money down on to be the MVP this year is Andrew Luck.
I was about to say that, too.
I can see it.
Barnacle thinks it's funny, but hey, me and Z-Dub are same wavelength right here. We get it. If we're putting money down and yes, the odds are like 100-1 and I'm getting 100 times whatever I put down, every day, all day, I'm doing that. Are you kidding me?
I'm laughing that you said it. I'm not disagreeing with y'all, because I could see that actually happening because of their new head coach they got. That's all I think would be funny, but I don't want that to happen, because that means the Colts had a great year, and I'm not going to be able to stand with that.
Yeah, I'll be very – I think – although I'll be upset if we suck – if we're good and we lose, but we like play these far, you know, hard fought games, I'll be good with that. You know why? Because I can hang my hat on the championship that'll just have finished in June. I'll hang my hat on that and remember the Astros from last year. So that's all I got to do.
You're shooting your shot with the Rockets?
That's not really shooting a shot. I mean, they're right now, you know what the odds are for them to win the NBA Finals?
They're number two. They're not number one, though.
But do you know
it's
what
always
the odds
be the Warriors.
Are?
Right, it's about two to one.
It is 2-1. They have 2-1 odds in February to win the NBA Finals. I can't tell you the last time a team has had that good of odds to win the finals.
So I feel like
2-1 is the best you can get.
If you live in the Houston area or you're a Houston sports fan, you're living in probably the greatest era of Houston sports with the Astros winning it all, the Rockets probably continuing to win it all. And then you got a franchise QB.
You really don't know what to do. As a Houston fan right now, you have no idea what to do, because there's never been a time in Houston history where all three teams have been so relevant all at the same time. It's never happened. In the mid-90s, it was the Rockets show, and the Oilers were okay. In the early 2000s, it was the Astros show. Rockets and Texans.
The Oilers were good.
Yeah, they were good. Okay, let me finish.
They were good, but they didn't win at all.
Let me finish. Yes. Okay, so we're talking. So we're starting in the 90s, right? We can go before that, but let's just don't worry about that. Let's start in the 90s, okay? Rockets were good. Oilers were decent. They were on their way out of town, though. So they, you know, and the Astros were okay. They weren't very good. In the early 2000s, it was all about the Astros. Couple years in a row, win the pennant, go to the World Series, that kind of thing. Texans were no good. They just started. The Rockets were no good either. And then in the late 2000s, early 2010s, the Texans were really good. Looked like they might be able to do something. Rockets were poo. Astros were the worst team in baseball. So you can see how we've never been good all at once.
That's when we got Harden in the 2010s, early 2010s.
Yeah, but they were first-round exits every year.
But then we made it to the We made it to the Western Conference Finals.
1 year.
That doesn't matter. To me, that doesn't matter. See, listen, okay, but to me, you're shooting too low. Your expectations are so low. You need to say finals or bust on your team. With talent like we had, Z-Dub's right. First round exits with the talents we had. I mean, to the Trailblazers, give me a break. That was awful.
That was awful.
Seriously.
I still don't think that Damian Lillard shot should have counted, so I don't think that as...
He shot it way before time expired.
No. Okay, watch when he catches the ball and turns and shoots. There's no way he does it that fast.
He
watch
did.
The replay. 0.3
seconds.
I don't think you understand Damian Lillard's release time. He shoots. The only person who shoots the ball faster
than
Lillard
is
Steph.
I don't
want to
argue about this because this is just going to frustrate me. And I'm not arguing about it because I saw what I saw and I believe what I believe. And y'all believe the other way. That's fine. I'm not arguing about that shot because I'm more worried about how is this team going to beat Golden State now.
Now, if you want to get into an argument about game clock and stuff, go back to when Derek Fisher hit that game against the Spurs back in like 2003 or something like that.
I agree with you on that.
It's like 0.4 seconds on the clock and he gets the ball, turns around and shoots. That's not possible. But Lillard had like 0.9 seconds, I think. That's enough time to catch and shoot the ball.
Anyways.
Yeah, back to the NFC West. We got all the way to talking about
different sports.
Anyways,
we're still in the 40. We haven't even finished the 49ers.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go
to the QB.
All right. Let's move on. I want to do receivers first because I'm excited about Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be great.
I'm excited about Pierre Garçon coming back. I'm really looking forward to this team, but I'm looking forward to him coming. I mean, I'm looking forward to this receiving core. They need one more piece.
I guess he's not too old.
They
need a tight end or something. They need somebody else.
They need a tight end.
McDonald. Is that the guy? No.
They need another option.
George Kittle. He needs to either become the guy or get out of the way.
I like Garrett Celek more.
I do too. He picked it. He had a great. I think
he and Garoppolo have better.
His name sounds like Skittle. So I'm sure. I'm sure Marshawn Lynch would love him because his name sounds like Skittle.
What about the running back situation?
That's what they need to fix. I think they need to go out there running back.
It's gonna
in the first couple rounds.
That's gonna be the
they
one
go out
thing
to one
that
of
hinders
those two Georgia running backs.
I think picking a running back in the first round is the worst idea you can do.
You think so?
Well, what about you would have drafted Saquon Barkley.
He's not going to be available.
I know, but
if I had the first pick,
I think
he's
going to the Giants.
Giants might.
I need to send you guys. I need to.
The Giants
might. Listen. Hey. Listen. I need to send you guys this article that I read. Okay, it completely changed my mind. It was 8 reasons, and it's literally indefensible. Like you cannot come up with a shred of evidence contrary to what this guy's saying. 8 points on why drafting a running back in the first round is the worst thing you can do for a team. Like, historically speaking, there is no stat and no amount of evidence anywhere that picking a running back in the first round over picking one in the third round gets you any farther ahead. Like, they're saying the majority of guys that make it are guys that are picking the third, fourth, and fifth round. Those are the studs.
As a Vikings fan, Adrian Peterson is all I can say.
And Ezekiel Elliott for Cowboys.
So that's two. Okay. That's two out of
and
hundreds
McCaffrey.
Of
you said there's no evidence to dispute it.
And
I'm just
and
that's what I said. There is no evidence to dispute the numbers. Like, it's unbelievable. You guys are mentioning like a infinitesimally small amount of percentage of guys. Like, you just named 4 or 5 guys maybe. Okay?
Well, yeah.
I'm sure you can
every
think
now
Fournette,
and then
have been good.
Fournette.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure you can name a couple, but it's like, I mean, the amount of guys that are taken in the first round that actually have a positive impact on their team long term is somewhere in like the single digit percentage.
Yes.
It is a complete waste of a first round pick.
I agree with you, but I was going to say the amount of like first round draft picks for running backs is a little too high, But there is that one guy that comes around every few years. You know, this year, I think it's Saquon this year. I think he's that kind of, that level of a game changer where he is a first round top 10 draft pick.
Top five. I think he's top five.
Oh, yeah, honestly. Top five. You know, you had Zeke a couple years ago. Last guy that was probably worthy before that was AP, maybe Todd Gurley. I don't know.
And Melvin Gordon, you could throw not him yet, but eventually.
No, I wouldn't take Melvin Gordon in the first round.
But he was a first round pick.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been though. That's I think that's what Jacob's kind of getting at.
You're mentioning Leonard Fournette. If you look at what Leonard Fournette did this year, you'd realize how underwhelming he was for a first round pick.
Yeah,
I know. I was just saying like. He had a 1,000-yard year. To me, for running back, that's still pretty good. But I get what you're saying though. I thinking back on the running backs that I've seen taking in the first round that haven't worked out, I've seen it.
It's really like 80% to 20%. It is unbelievable the amount. Like I'll go find it somewhere. I don't remember who posted.
Like look at Priest Holmes. Guys undrafted. Undrafted running back, and he's had a Hall of Fame career. Priest Holmes,
yeah,
undrafted. Yeah. And you look at him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just one of those things. Okay, but whenever we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. So we know they got to fix that, and we already talked about their defense at the beginning of the show. Let's move on, Zach. What do you want to say?
I was going to say they do need to get after a running back in this draft though, because there's some great talent. For running backs in this draft, both Georgia running backs, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, I think they should go after one of those two guys. I think they should move on from whatever his name is.
Hyde.
Carlos Hyde.
It needs to be a competition between whoever they draft and Matt Breida.
Yeah. I don't think Carlos Hyde is the guy.
That's my boy, Matt Breida.
Matt Breida can suck it.
And he will. You'll be doing that this year. Don't worry. Last team in the NFC West. And this team is probably in a worse downward spiral, turmoil, as far as their inner workings go than any other team because of their entire defense just kind of imploded on themselves last year and everybody was mad at everybody and everybody wants out. Everybody wants to leave. They have no running back. They have a quarterback who is a fake leader. And their receiving core is a bunch of undersized guys. So I kind of feel like there's a chance that they finish dead last in the division this year.
I think they'll bounce back. But if they don't go after an offensive lineman in the first round of this draft, I'm going to personally go up to Seattle. And do something to their GM.
I
want to
see that.
Because he's an idiot. They keep going after these nobodies.
You read on the headlines of the Seattle Times, Z-Dub arrested in Seattle for vandalism or whatever.
But that's the thing. Think about the guys they drafted. Their majority of their players are not even the first round picks that they play. Like Sherman, Wagner, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, yes, is one of them. Michael Bennett wasn't in the first rounder. Like they don't play first. Their first round pick is never a star studded name. They get their best picks late in the rounds. Like if you just look at even Doug Baldwin, was he undrafted or did he get drafted?
But you still got to take a chance with. I mean, in the first round, they keep going after these nobodies in the first round of the draft. They need to go after offensive linemen because I mean every year we see Russell Wilson. Every year we see Russell Wilson running around outside the pocket. I mean, basically taking over the offense. He is the offense.
I don't really feel bad for Russell Wilson, but I do think if their defense had not imploded on themselves, he would have won the MVP. It's literally his defense's fault. It's his defense's fault that they did not division, that he did not
win. He wins MVP. He wins MVP.
Like and it's by a landslide. He wins it easily.
I agree with you.
I mean, he was the front runner for a little bit.
Yeah, when they were winning
for most of the season.
Struggled down the stretch. They lost.
Yeah, they imploded.
Yeah. The 10 games they imploded.
That's why I can easily see believe it or not, Seattle Seahawks finishing in dead last in the NFC West.
Yeah,
and it could be. It could go either way.
It could go either way.
And they finish last.
If they start off slow, yes, I agree with you. But if they come out playing great football, then I can't see that happening.
It all depends. How they start. It all depends on their mentality going into the season. If they get off to a bad start, they could finish last. If they start off great, then they can win their division. They have that kind of...
I think they're the hardest team to read.
That's the narrative for all four teams in this division, though. If you start off slow, you're not catching up. It's good. It's really going to be who comes out of the gate, and by week four, is 4-0 or 3-1. That's going to be the real deciding factor.
To me, I feel like if I'm that Seattle team, I'm thinking to myself, if this is it, this is our last year as a core to win, to go for it. And if we don't do it, it's just time to cut ties.
Oh yeah, it's just time.
This is it right here. This is nut up or shut up. And if they don't do it, then they can go. If I'm the GM, I'm saying, all right, we had our run. Let's get rid of it. Let's move on, start fresh, build around Russell Wilson, and go from there.
That's what I think. If they come out of the gate, and let's say, I don't know where their bye week is, let's just assume it's 7 or 8, and they're sitting at like 2-4, 2-5, it's tank time. You go for that pick, and you go for I don't know who. But right now, Russell Wilson, it's his show, and who's his supporting cast? Couldn't tell you. Absolutely no idea.
At this point right now.
I mean, even Doug Baldwin, I think
their running back situation, like if Chris Carson, they really relied heavily on him until he got hurt. So, I mean, if he comes back healthy, I think he could be their guy. Other than that, I still think they still have a problem there.
I just don't understand how you rotate through like four guys and nobody can do the job. Like not one person.
Your offensive line can't block.
Think about this. At least I know in our own fantasy draft last year, we had three running backs for Seattle taken, and all three of them ended up on the bench.
Like, I think it was immediately.
I don't understand why people were wanting to take Seattle running backs. I mean, after what happened in 2016, and I mean. I wouldn't want to take anybody, even if they draft somebody. I wouldn't want to take them in a draft this year, given how their offensive line has performed.
Okay, so the three guys that were taken in our draft in this order, it was somewhere in the draft. Thomas Rawls was the first one taken. C.J. Prosise was the second one taken. J.D. McKissick was the third one taken. All right, and then Chris Carson ended up being the front runner until he got hurt. Mike Davis did okay some games, but that's five guys really that. You got no production out of five dudes. And I understand, again, Chris Carson's injury. But you got almost no production out of five different running backs. Oh, and should I mention also Eddie Lacy, who ended up not even on the list. Okay. Yeah. So six guys, right, that were thrown. Actually, I think we got four guys. I think we got Rawls, Lacy, Prosise, and McKissick were all drafted. So six guys, you rotated six running backs. Okay. How often do you rotate through six running backs and not one guy figures it out? I mean, that's like historically awful season for the Seahawks.
I have a question for y'all. Whose offensive line would you take? Houston Texans or Seattle Seahawks?
Don't do this to me. Texans. Either way, you're going to end up with a dead quarterback. Either way, you're going to end up with someone who's going to get injured. I mean, it's just – it's unbelievable. I mean
–
I feel bad for their offensive line. Because that's really why their running team suffered, their running game. But even look, okay, like you just mentioned, a comparable offensive line that was just as bad was the Houston Texans, right? Our running backs looked somewhat competent. They were in the middle of the pack. They were not dead last. We didn't have to rotate in six guys. We had three guys. Brady got hurt, and we brought in – well, that's what I mean. We had two really at the beginning, and then Foreman went down. Alfred Blue kind of took over that secondary role, but – Lamar Miller's not great, but he's not terrible. He's kind of middle of the pack. They had six dudes, man. Six dudes that couldn't figure it out. Unbelievable. And then, you know, you talk about, like we said earlier, their defense just imploding on itself. All these guys are starting to become in their mid to upper 20s. They're all kind of getting a little bit rustier. I think that what we hinted on before. If they start out slow, tank, and start getting rid of salaries, because pretty soon these guys are, because they've been good long enough, they're going to start wanting money. You're going to have to get rid of a bunch of guys, and you might as well just start over now. Seattle Seahawks, fourth in the NFC West in 2018, according to Jake the Snake.
That's bold. That's bold. I see them finished. I see them second, barely missing the playoffs again.
I still think the Cardinals will be last. But
I think the Rams will win it, and I think so too. 49ers will be second, and the Cardinals third, and the Seahawks fourth.
Huh.
I say Rams, Seahawks, 49ers, Cardinals.
Yeah, that's me too.
That's what most people, I think, would say. Yeah, most people would say that.
And if I have to say, if I had to, I would flip-flop 49ers, Seahawks, if I had to change it.
Yeah.
I would flip-flop that.
I was about to say that too, yeah.
All right, well, that is week two covering the NFL division by division. We have gone through the AFC West, and now we just covered the NFC West. Coming up next week, I don't remember who we got. Who do we got next week? Is it the AFC North? No, it can't be right. Yeah, I think it is. I think it's because the Steelers were the next ones up.
No, the Titans were. We got to look at the –
The Jaguars stayed in. Here, I can tell you. Give me just a second. I've got it here somewhere. Maybe I don't have it anywhere. Oh, here we go. No. Don't have it. Gosh, I don't know. I don't know what happened to it. We'll have to figure it out. It'll be somebody. I think I'm pretty sure it's NFC West.
NFC East. No, Eagles. Never mind. You're right.
They're the last one we're gonna do. I'm pretty sure it's AFC North. I'm pretty sure, because the next round in the divisional series, the teams that were expunged were the Steelers, and then also the Saints and Falcons both lost.
We can do NFC South. It's gonna be too.
No, it's gonna be AFC North then NFC South, because they had two teams still in at that point.
Yeah,
all right.
They had the Saints and the Falcons. So, yep, next week AFC North. Real quick before we leave, Barnacle posed a question to Z-Dub and I want to answer it on air. We have not answered it. And the question is, do we think – this is totally non-football related, so if you're only here for football, you can turn us off now. If not, you can stick around and listen. Do you think that the Astros become like the Royals a couple years ago? And I want you to explain a little bit what you meant by that question, and then we'll answer it.
All right, what I meant by it is, like, you know how the Royals won it all, and they haven't made the playoffs in a couple of years. But then you look at their pieces they had, they remind me of the Astros a little bit. But the only thing, the more I think about it, I feel like the Royals' pieces were more older, and ours are younger than what the Royals were.
That's what I was going to say. But then again, I think about the
prospects and the pitching is what keeps taking me back to.
Yeah, so the Astros have an upper hand in pitching. The Royals did not have that great of pitching, plus one of their pitchers died. So rest in peace, Yordano. But anyways, their bullpen was great, phenomenal. But their starters were not comparable to Houston. Houston's starters are much better. But when you talk about – okay, let's talk about Core 4. When I think of the Royals' Core 4 from years ago, I think Hosmer 1, Lorenzo Cain, Moustakas, and Alex Gordon. Mm-hmm. Those are the four guys I think of, okay? And the four guys I think of on Houston are obviously Altuve, Correa, Bregman, Springer. If you just look at the four names that I just said, okay?
All of them are still young.
Lorenzo Cain. Yeah, Lorenzo Cain at the time was probably 27, 28. I think Altuve is the oldest out of that group, and he's just now turning 28, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
Eric Hosmer was young. Alex Gordon was old. Alex Gordon was already in his 30s. And Moustakas was really young, kind of still developing, kind of like Bregman was. But I think when you just compare those four names to Altuve, Springer, Bregman, Correa, I mean, the Astros have the easy upper hand. So I have a hard time seeing the Astros be like the Royals, win it all, and then not make the postseason.
And I thought about this, and I was like, the Royals traded a lot to get Ben Zobrist and get Johnny Cueto. They had to get but those two guys. That helped them win. But think about what we did. We only traded for Verlander, but then we signed Beltran. We signed Reddick. Like, all the other guys we signed were drafted.
And McCann.
And McCann. But I'm saying we didn't have to give up a lot for those guys when we did trade. The Royals had to give up their farm system.
The two most sought after guys in our organization right now is Kyle Tucker and Forrest Whitley. We still have them both. So that bodes well for us, really.
And that just baffles me that team. If I was a Tiger fan, I would understand why we didn't get one of those guys for the arguably a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Because he's kind of past his prime.
It also has something to do with, he's 36. Okay, so that has something to do with it. And his contract is out of sight. He's making over $25 million a year. So.
Yeah.
Factor those two things into a guy. You know, that's what happens. Hall of Fame guys get old. They make a ton of money, and they don't have the same production as they did when they were younger.
Yeah.
It's not the case yet. So Justin Verlander has yet to fall off of the platform that he's on. He's still up there. I mean, you can see his first spring training start.
He was in a slump with the Tigers, though.
Yeah, I mean, but he's still touching 96 already. You know, and the season just started. That's
why they got rid of him.
I don't know.
And he has gorilla arms and the hottest wife in America. So
you will not receive any contention to that statement there, Barnacle. I agree 100%.
I literally love Justin Verlander.
I literally love Justin Verlander.
All right.
It's been real, guys.
Yeah.
That was fun. Thanks for doing a little baseball with a Z-Dub. I know that's not your thing.
It's all good. I'm slowly getting into baseball.
Yeah. That's good, yeah. We're starting our baseball fantasy season here soon. You're more than welcome to join us. And
I'm not that
season starts. Season starts in a month. And 29 days.
A month.
Game 1, 29 days.
So we will maybe, depending on if we get any listeners that want to join, make a listener league for baseball just to – short little 8-team league or 10-team league maybe. I'm definitely starting our league that we do every year back up soon. And we'll get it rolling. Baseball season's around the corner. But, hey, remember, guys, fantasy football season never sleeps. It's always going on. You're always trying to make changes to your thought process. You're always trying to get the upper hand and always trying to compete and win your division even now. It starts now, especially if you're in a deep dynasty league. You know, I read – there's some leagues out there, guys, you won't believe this. Unless you've heard it, then you'll believe it. There are leagues that have 50 to 60 rounds in their draft. Okay? And there's, listen to this, no trades and no free agents. So who you draft is who you've got for the whole season. Regardless of injury, regardless of performance.
That doesn't seem fair. So I wouldn't put money on that.
You go deep.
I wouldn't even put a penny on that, man. That's how it's all about luck.
50
at that
rounds
point.
Deep. You still have 9 starters, but you only have 50 rounds deep because you pick literally everybody, every single person. And there's no free agents and there's no trades. So that's kind of crazy.
That draft will take all day.
That's like a three-day draft. You do like 10, maybe a week worth of drafting right there. A week.
Yeah, that's some of the things that guys like to do is to do those kind of crazy weird
drafts. And they're not,
I've seen some other ones that are really weird.
And have no wives or kids or no girlfriends, and they sit on the computer in a closet all day.
Probably looking at child porn too. It's true. There's been a huge shift. Real quick, I know we're closing down on time, but there's been a huge shift lately to auction drafts, and that is becoming.
I don't like them.
I'm scared.
I hate auction drafts.
Because what you do, I mean, if you're not smart, you blow through your whole salary in the first two rounds, and then you've got three really good players. And the rest of your team is like absolute dog poop. Like you start out the game and you've got Zeke Elliott and Le'Veon Bell and DeAndre Hopkins, and then the rest of your team is filled with guys like Marquise
Will Fuller
and Matt Breida. I mean, like, your team is absolutely terrible, man.
Scrubs. Send some scrubs, man.
Yeah, that's – so – but it's interesting to think about. You know, like, you start with $100, and apparently, like, if you run out of money, what you do is at the end of a round, everybody can either pick a player for you, or you get, like, a – you can get, like, a loan from somebody else and make a pick. But then later on in the season, if they want whoever you pick, they get to take that person. Yeah. No, because it's not like a $100 buy-in. It's like your budget is like $100, and so like the number one overall pick will go for like $27, and so somebody will spend a quarter of their total money for the whole draft on the first round pick, like, because it's a bidding war, it's an auction, so that's what it is. And so that's one of the stipulations is, okay, if you run out of money before the draft's over, then whoever loans you like a dollar to pick up a player in like round 9 or 10 or even down as low as 16, if later on in the season they want that guy, you have to give it to him. That's the rule.
Oh, okay. I got you now.
That's pretty cool. So like if you end up picking somebody like this year, if I would have ran out of money and I picked Carson Wentz down in the 14th round, right? Whoever gave me that piece of money would be able to say, oh, I want Carson Wentz, and you just have to do it. Like, you know.
Waiting for like mid-season, I want Wentz right now.
Yeah, and Deshaun Watson too. Like, that was my 14th and 16th round picks were Wentz and Watson. So,
and they both tore their ACLs.
But again, if you don't run out of money, then you're fine. Then you don't have to owe anybody anything. You know, if you're smart, if you wait up on the first couple guys, because again, you know, the first I'd say 10 players that go would be worth $20, and everybody else will be somewhere in the teens, and then it starts working down, and by the end of the draft, everybody's worth about a dollar. So,
all right, I gotcha.
All right, guys, it's been fun. Last words, Barnacle?
Rockets win it all.
Amen, brother. Z-Dub.
Meh, I'm tired. Let's go to bed.
You said that last week.
Really?
Yeah, let's go to bed. Yeah, that was your last statement.
That's his trademark.
I guess time to go to bed or something, and Barnacle said words to live by. All right, guys, on behalf of these two awesome dudes, it's Jake the Snake. As always, find us on Twitter at Fantasy Unscript, Instagram Fantasy Unscripted, and fantasyunscripted.wordpress.com for some really outdated articles. I need to write some more. But you can also find our links to iTunes, Google Play right there on the homepage. And you can follow our blog if you're interested or whatever. If not, screw you. Stay classy. Have a good night, y'all. See you later.
Bye. You want pushing nice and slow, fall like dominoes, live today and not tomorrow.